March 16, 2018, we end up Pebet Amud Aleph at the very top, top line, Mishnah. Lo yelamed Adam Ravak Sofrim, velo telamed Isha Sofrim. Says the Mishnah that an Adam Ravak, which means a man who is single, should not be teaching Sofrim. Sofrim refers to, like Rashi says, Tinokot Shel Bet Rabban, little kids. What's the fear? So we imagine that the fear is some sort of homosexual activity. We'll see in the Gemara that that wasn't the fear, at least at this opinion in the Mishnah. Velo telamed isha sofrim, and similarly, a woman who's in a similar situation shouldn't do so either. Rabbi Elazar omer, af mi she'en lo isha lo yelamed sofrim. It says, Rabbi Elazar, even a person who doesn't have a wife, it sounds like doesn't have a wife, or maybe what he's suggesting is either divorced or widowed, or she's out of town. It could be any of those circumstances. Well, the Gemara will clarify that. Rabbi Yehuda Omer lo yir'e ravak behema. He says that you should, if you're single, you shouldn't be a shepherd. V'lo yishnu, now keep in mind, this is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda.
You're going too far with that.
Now keep in mind, this is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is disagreeing with the first opinion, right? Whereas the first opinion seems to be saying, well, I'm nervous about some things, but not this one. Rabbi Yehuda is clearly nervous about bestiality over here, right? But that's just the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, that'll be important in the Gemara. V'lo yishnu shene revakin betalit ahat. It says, and two single men should not be sleeping with the same blanket. The Chachamim matirim, but the Chachamim seem to have less of a fear on that matter. Says the Gemara, my ta'ana, we'll go back to the first point, the single man teaching the boys. Why is that so? Ile mamishu yinuke. Maybe it's because we fear sexual relations with the kids. The Hatanya, wait a second, we have a beraita, which seems to make it clear that would only be the opinion of Biuda. Now, the first opinion in our Mishnah is not that of Rabbi Yehuda. It's rather the majority opinion. It's Chachamim. The Hatanya, it's specifically Amru lo Rabbi Yehuda. The Chachamim respond to Rabbi Yehuda. Lo nechshedu Yisrael al-mishkav zachur, velo ala behema. The Chachamim say to Rabbi Yehuda, we're not nervous under most circumstances that Bnei Yisrael are going to have problems with zachur, which means with males, or with animals. Now, that first statement is interesting, especially in lieu of what Joko asked yesterday, in terms of, well, is there a problem of Yehud amongst two males? Well, if we're working with this reality of the Gemara, it sounds like there wouldn't be. Lo nechshedu. Regardless, for our purposes right now, for our sugya, what the Gemara is saying, it can't be that the fear over here is a fear of the relations with the kids or relations with the animal, because that's only the opinion of Biuda. So what are Chachamim nervous about here in the Resha of the Mishnah? Ela ravak mishum amhata diyanuke. Isha mishum avhata diyanuke. Says the Gemara, the single man, the fear is the mothers of those kids. The mothers of those kids come to drop off their kids. This guy is single. Who knows what it's going to lead to
mother.
In such a circumstance with the mother. And in turn, the mother, she's eshetish.
She's not married.
She's not a mother.
What about the kids? We're not talking
relationship
with the kids.
No, no.
That's
right. But many of the mothers are married. And on the flip side, if it's a mora, in other words, it's a, there you go. If it's a single woman, the fear is that the men might be bringing their kids to school, and in turn, we're nervous about that activity on that end.
Why the woman cannot teach again?
The same reason, because of the fathers that will bring the kids. Mishum avhata, says the Gemara. The fear of a single woman with the fathers who bring. Says the Gemara onward, Bila Azar Omer, Af Mi She'en Vechule, right? That was what the Mishnah said. If a person, En Lo Isha, Lo Yelamed Sofrim. And so the Gemara says, what does that mean? Ba'aya Lehu. The Chachamim had a Safik. Mi She'en Lo Isha Kelal. This means a person who doesn't have a wife at all. Let's say he's divorced or he's widowed or whatever. O Dilma B'She'en Ashiruya Eslo. Or it comes to include even, you're married, but your wife's out of town. Or she's not with you. In such a circumstance, you're not supposed to be teaching young kids. Tashema af mi sheyesh lo ve'ena shiruya eslo lo yelamed sofrim. Explicit in this beraita that the opinion of Biuda goes that if you have a wife but she's out of town, you shouldn't be teaching little boys because there's a fear of involvement with their mothers. Go ahead.
This goes on all the time. We have teachers teaching. I'm not even talking public now yeshivas.
I think the answer would be our yeshivas are different than the reality then. The reality then is this is a secluded area. The reality of our yeshivas, there's people walking through the hallway, people walking in and out of the room. It's going to be a lot harder to get involved in this type of stuff if you're in the yeshiva building than it once was. That's my understanding of this.
You have the kid at the door.
What's that?
You don't even see the teacher.
Even better.
You don't think about outside the street.
Listen, Joey, but that's has nothing to do with teaching or not teaching. That's a reality of our interconnected world. In other words, where do we build the borders on that? Then we're going to have to cut a lot more than just involvement. You know, I don't know if this is the cutoff in lieu of what we know from the news. You know, it says the Gemara on Rabbi Yehuda Omer Lo Yireh, but Joey, nobody's going to deny that this is that in our society these are real issues. These are issues that are rampant and probably more than ever before. And the question is how to control them.
They were right on the money with this.
Yep. Rabbi, I mean they understood human psychology. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Lo Yireh, right? That was the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda onward. Rabbi Yehuda, unlike Rabbi Elazar, he adds even further. He says, if you're single, you shouldn't be shepherding animals. Tanya amru lo Rabbi Yehuda lo nechshedu Yisrael al mishkav zachur v'lo ala beema. In a similar fashion to what they said to Rabbi Elazar, the Chachamim say to him, listen, that's not the fear. We don't have that general fear. Again, the issue will be, the question will be, is that a societal concept, which it sounds as if it is. In other words, if homosexuality is not the norm, but is a lot more existent, well, maybe now we do have such a fear. It's an issue that the poskim certainly deal with.
Thousands of years ago, wasn't homosexuality a regular thing for like kings?
Yeah, I understand, but by and large, in terms of the regular guy, it wasn't.
Well,
and that's the point of
the
here.
Yeah.
Okay, Mishnah. Next Mishnah. Kol she'asakav im hanashim lo yitrahed im hanashim. It says a person who has jobs that are that will bring him in contact with women, he has to make sure that he's not secluded with the women. We'll talk about what type of jobs, but the Gemara will have better. The Mishnah will have. Better to say than just don't seclude yourself with a woman as a doctor. It'll say don't be a doctor, which is, you know, I might even want to do a separate class on that. That's a pretty sharp statement. But what about a doctor and seclusion? It certainly would be, you know, we would add that to the list. I don't know why it's not on the list, as we'll see. Add it to the list. Ve'lo yilamed adam et beno umanut hanashim. And says further, you should be careful not to teach your child a job which is prone to be involved with women. Rabbi Meir omer le'olam yelamed adam et beno umanut nikiya vekala. You should teach your child, you should get him into a profession that's clean in terms of sexual activity. And kala means it's not over arduous, it's not too hard. But wait a second, that type of job, probably the low lives, you're not going to be able to make money. Vit palel and supplement, it says Rabbi Meir, lemisha oshe v'hanechasim shelo.
Every business you're working that lays involved.
The point is, business. There are some businesses that have more women involved, and some businesses that have less women involved.
Even a rabbi's still job.
Understood, but Joey, if I could only tell you, if I could only tell you, in how many years in the rabbinate, the amount of disputes among spouses over the man who's in the lingerie business and his wife finds out that he was involved watching something or seeing something. I mean, I'm not saying that there's not a way to deal with such professions, but I'm saying there are certainly some that are a lot more involved than others. So anyway, v'yitpalel misha osher v'hanechasim shelo, and how do you supplement it, says Rabbi Meir? You gave your son a low-life job. He says, pray to the person, to pray to the being who's in charge of possessions and wealth. Who's that? Obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She'en umanu, she'en ba'aniyut v'ashirut. There's no profession, there's no occupation that doesn't have some poor people and some rich people. There's the successful ones and there's the less successful. She'lo aniyut mina umanut, ve'lo ashirut mina umanut. It's not dependent upon your profession or your occupation based on how much money you're going to make. Ela hakol lefi zechuto, when it comes down to it. Much of it is based on your zechut, based on your merit. In other words, you have to have your own skills, but you have to have the appropriate luck and the appropriate zechuyot. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, the Mishnah continues, Ra'ita miyamecha hayav ve'ov she'en lahem umanut. והן מתפרנסים שלא בשער.
What's that?
שיש להם אומנות והן מתפרנסים שלא בשער. Have you ever seen a bird or an animal who has a job? None of them have jobs or occupations, and nonetheless, they have no pain in sustaining themselves and their families. When it comes down to it, all their purpose is l'shameshoti. It's the first perek in Sefer Bereshit. It's the description of the animals. The animal, we're supposed to urdu b'tgatayam v'ol hashamayim. Man is supposed to take control of the animals, and nonetheless, they have an easy life without having v'ani nivreti l'shameshet koni. And me, I have a higher job. And Odin, isn't it a kalva homer, a kol shekin, shepanesh lo b'tzar? Won't I be able to, if I do it appropriately, have a job in which I won't have all that much sa'ar, all that much sorrow and difficulty? Elo shehura'ati ma'asai v'kapachti et parnasati. He says, but why do I have a difficult situation? Because I haven't acted appropriately, and as a result, I've directly influenced my business. In other words, if I had gone on a derech yeshara, I'd be able to be more successful.
With the animals, they don't. I used to read this book, Perek Shira.
Yes.
That's the animals praying to Hashem.
Sure. I mean,
so they,
according to this midrash, I don't know if that. I don't know if it's meant to be taken literally. But regardless, the statement over here is
that
they
get
don't.
Taken care of.
It's that they get taken care of. Right. I mean, that's. Abba Gurian ish sadyan omer mishum Abba Gurya lo yelamed adam et beno. The following occupations you should not teach your child. And why not? Because all these occupations, it'll be explained, are prone to stealing and to thievery. Hamar, you shouldn't teach it. Well, right, if we sped it up, maybe we'd add it. Hamar means a person who rides donkeys as a profession, as an occupation. Gamal means he rides the camels.
Like a horse racing? Like a
jockey? No, I think like a carry people or objects on them. Like a car service. There you go. Yes, Kadar is really a car service. Kadar was it has the wagon in the back. It's a wagon drawer. Safan, it means a sailor. Ro'eh, it means obviously a shepherd. Hinvani means
a shepherd.
Same issue. Is you're going to come in contact out in the fields,
we're
and you're going
from shepherds.
What's that? Just like anything else, it could be done appropriately, could be done inappropriately. Right. Their argument is this is more prone at their period, certainly, to thievery. You're going out with your flock out into other people's fields,
and you
found other people's stuff, you found other people's crops. Henveni means a retailer, right? Shu'umanutan, all these types of people, umanut listim. Listim means thievery. These are professions which will lead to thievery. What is it? Joey says, what does he want us doing? It's a good question. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishemor. Rabbi Yehuda says a little bit differently. He says, Hahamarin Rubam Resha'in. He says, indeed, those who, the donkey taxi drivers, they're problematic. Hagamalin, the ones that are on the camels, Ruban Ksherin, explains Rashi, because you're out in the deserts. Who are you taking from? Who are you stealing from? If you're doing camel riding, you're probably out in the middle of nowhere. Hasafanim, it means boat sailors, Ruban Hasidim. They're even more pious. Why are they more pious?
They're
out at sea, and they're probably turning to Borei Olam for help. In other words, they probably have a high level of emunah bitachon because they are in precarious, vulnerable situations. So he's disagreeing on the earlier. He said if sailors are rotten, sailors might have the greatest.
Even Yonah, we learned that the sailors all turned and they...
Who were not Jewish and turned and they're...
There
you go. That's proof in the pudding. Tov shebarofim, and here's that statement I was mentioning earlier, the greatest of the doctors, legehinan. Legehinam, why? What they do wrong? Says Rashi, three interpretations. Rashi says, Tov shebarofim legehinam, number one, Eno yare min aholi, uma'achalo ma'achal beri'im, ve'eno mishaber libo lamakom, upe'amim shohoreg nefashot, ve'yesh biyado lerapeot he'ani ve'eno marpe. So says Rashi, first of all, he feeds him, he gives him a medical a treatment, turns him away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, turns himself away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because there's a certain self-empowerment over here. I can give you the health foods, I can take care of you, I can take care of you. Sometimes, that's the issue here. Second issue, says Rashi, sometimes he might do it by accidentally, but he's still ultimately killing people.
But the fact that he wants himself, does he get a bad from it? Like, I saved that guy's life?
That was the first one. That was the first interpretation. Thirdly, says Rashi, v'yesh bi'adol lerafeot he'ani ve'eno marpet. The Martin Shkreli business over here. In other words, he's if you don't have the money to pay, you're going to drop dead. And he's a doctor. He's put in that situation.
Free.
He ultimately has to sometimes make that type of decision, which is not going to bode very well for him. Okay, so that's the statement in the Mishnah. It's an important question which we'll have to address. Does this really mean that the Chachamim don't want us being doctors? There's much to discuss about this. It's certainly, if we read this line, it sounds... yeah, right. All in the Mishnah.
40,000 pages to cover this?
That's a long Mishnah. V'hakasheh shebatabachim shutafo shel Amalek. And it says the most pious and the most kosher in terms of slaughterers, he's like the partner of Amalek. What does slaughterers do wrong? What does slaughterers do wrong? Says Rashi. No. Says Rashi, listen, their profession is to feed people. They end up getting sometimes something that's safek, whether it's kosher or not. But they got $10,000 on the line. So they'll go, safek, okay, we'll give it to them.
Also, you have to have a very strong,
read the news on this one, and you
insight to do the shahita.
Okay, assuming you know it, that's kasheh shebatabachim. We're still nervous that it's your profession and you're dealing with other people's spiritual lives, right? Not something. Okay, Rabbi Nehorai Omer, Amaniach ani kol umanut sheba'olam, says Rabbi Nehorai, we're wondering, so what should we be doing?
Okay.
Listen, he says, I would leave aside all occupations, and I would just teach my son Torah. So, he can't, in my opinion, he's not meant to be taken over here as something that he's telling everyone to do at all times, and you can't have a sustainable society. But he is saying the importance of teaching Torah. He says, look at all the other professions you have to find when you have to be involved. But when it comes down to it, look at the most clean one. Not that it needs to, but just contrast the two and say, well, Torah has something to it that these other ones don't. And he's not, in my opinion, he's not calling for more kolilim. Why is Torah so important? She'adam ochel misechara ba'olam hazeh ve'akeren kayemet lo la'olam haba. He says, you benefit from it in this world, but the principle, the sachar, you get in the world to come. U'sha'ar kol umanut. That's in contrast to all the other professions. Enankin, even if they're a kosher one, that's not the way it works. Shadam bali de holy, oli de zikna, oli de isurin. When you're sick or old or in pain, and you no longer can be involved in your business, you don't make any money and you end up dying of starvation. Torah enakin. Torah is not that way. Even when you're sick and old and tired, it gives you both protection when you're young and even when you're old. What does the pasuk say about young people who are involved with Torah? Those who have the appropriate trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and are studying, they're rejuvenated. What about a person who's elderly? It's about being rejuvenated as well. But when you actually need that rejuvenation as an old person. So too, it says by Avraham Avinu, Avraham zaken, v'Adonai berach et Avraham bakol. Masinu she'asa Avraham Avinu et kol ha'Torah kula ad shelo nitena she'ne'emar ekev asher shema Avraham bekoli v'yishmor mishmartim mitzvotai v'chukotai v'torotai. It cites this pasuk in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Avraham's so wonderful, he's followed all my chukotai, mishmartim, mitzvotai. And in turn, says the pasuk, well, not in turn, in addition to that, it says that even in his old age, Amonai Berachat Avraham Bakol, he had full protection, he had full blessing, even in his old age. So the Chachamim see a link between them. What does it mean that Avraham fulfilled the entirety of the Torah? Does it mean he was eating Masa on Pesach? Does it mean he was sitting in Sukkah and Sukkot? Does it mean he was wearing Tefillin? So what many of the Mefarshim to this type of statement to suggest very often is that he probably didn't do any of the mitzvot as we know them. But the principle of the mitzvot, the soda mitzvot, the ta'am ha-mitzvot,
the meaning,
the backdrop, the rationale of the mitzvot, the reasons for the mitzvot, that he was able to do even from chopping a piece of wood. In other words, he'd be able to do a regular lifestyle, but know the appropriate way to approach it. It's a skill that sometimes people say, I could do this. You know, I don't need the tefillah b'sibur.
Like seeing an apple on a tree, look where it came from.
Move on. But I'm saying, but people will do this today. They'll say, listen, I know what prayer is supposed to do for me. I don't need that whole structured prayer. I'll just do three words and I'll have the same meditation and be able to pull it off. It's a nice thought. It's Ma'alat Avraham Avinu. That's what the Avot were doing, those types of things. But it doesn't work any longer. Once the Torah was given, you can't play those games. This is a statement many of the Mikubalim make. They say that, listen, the Gemara talks about this concept of Gadol Avera Lishma, which means to say that if you sin for the appropriate intent, well, it's wonderful. Which is logical. You did it for the appropriate intent, bring you closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's extremely dangerous. I mean, so many of the Mefarshim, as a matter of fact, go and they say that's what Chetah Egel exactly was. What's wrong with Chetah Egel? The truth is, if it was prior to Matan Torah, maybe it wouldn't have been wrong. We were looking, it's post Matan Torah, we don't play those games any longer. That is what Torah is. Torah.
Now you have the rules.
And the rules is a system which cannot be broken. The interesting thing is that there have been small cases over the generations in which the poskim discussed, well, it's not sinning or not sinning, and I'm choosing to sin because it'll get me closer, but rather sinning or sinning. Can I choose? So Chacham Vadia Yosef 30 years ago was asked the following question. It was a high school in Eretz Yisrael, and it was a religious high school, and the girls were all coming in with miniskirts. And his premise is miniskirts is problematic. I think we can all understand that miniskirts is inappropriate dress. And so he said, the person, the head of the school, writes Chacham Vadia, and he asks him, he says, what if they wear pants?
Ooh.
Says Chacham Vadia, but I still think it's not sanu. He says, but listen, when it comes down to it, the pants will be able to monitor a little bit more, and they'll be covered more. And assuming, I guess, it was not as tight as they are today. Well, maybe even, what do I know about the sanu? Anyway, that was the question. Chacham Vadia Yosef goes into a long teshubah, and at the end of the teshubah, he says, listen, don't misquote me. He says Chacham Vadia, lecha tehila. This shouldn't. Neither one is right. He says, but under these circumstances, we have to go with the better of two evils. Yeah. In other words, and he was posek lalacha, they should be wearing the pants in such a circumstance. Similarly, and I think he cites this, there's a book called Sefer Hasidim. Sefer Hasidim was written by Rabbi Yehuda Hasid. Rabbi Yehuda Hasid was a German rabbi, lived in early 12th century in Germany, and in Ashkenaz, and he had a very interesting perspective on Yahadut, on Torah, and so forth. He had a lot of followers. And interestingly, his stuff lasted a long time until today. Some of it even mainstreamed, not so much. Anyway, he was asked the following question. A fellow comes to him and says to him, I'm either going to sleep with Eshet Ish or someone else that I'm forbidden to my wife when she's in Ida, whatever the circumstances, or I'm going to masturbate. What's the halacha? I'm going to be shichvat zera levatala or go and do that. He says to him, shichvat zera levatala. He says, in terms of the severity, it's a lower level
because
severity.
You're involving a second person.
It's an interesting point. Yeah, but keep in mind, that might be the rationale for the Torah. He just says it's less severity. In terms of the Torah, one's karet, one's not karet. I mean, one...
You're making her make a sin too.
I understand. That might be why that one's karet, is what I'm saying. But he then concludes, oftentimes people just quote this part. The end, he then concludes, he says, but if you went ahead and you did that, I want you to sit in the snow during the winter without any clothing on. You need all sorts of kapara and so forth. But again, it's another one of these cases where they invoke avera lishma.
Two wrongs don't make a right.
But again, avera lishma. Right. Now, I would never tell you go and do avera lishma. I would say you need to speak to gedolim yoter mimeni, much more gedolim yoter mimeni, in order to verify if this is the appropriate action in the circumstance. And it's never going to be a public statement. You're not going to find the teshubah in these sorts of matters. It's going to be a specific circumstance. But just to portray for one last minute the types of dangers of Avera Lishma is, my favorite example is, in 1663, there was a fellow whose name was Shabtai Zvi. Shabtai Zvi was the false messiah. Now, he was going around and telling people, based on Kabbalah, based on Halakha, based on all sorts of sources, that they have to commit all sorts of sins in order to bring Mashiach. So he told them, on Kippur, you need to eat chilev. Chiyuv karet to eat chilev. To eat on Kippur, also chiyuv. And then, and he said, and I want you to be bo'il ta'irva on Kippur. And do all, you're not allowed to, you're not bi'ilah. It has relations with someone you're forbidden to. You're not allowed to have relations on Kippur. So, do all this at once on Kippur, and so on and so forth. All sorts of sins. Why? Kabbalistically speaking, he was able to prove that's going to bring Mashiach. And they would protest. What do you mean? It's against Torah. Hakadol Avir Alishma. And that was what he would constantly propagate. And you find it in his books and in his students' books. So there's a real danger when it comes down to this. And that's why I say we're not making these decisions on our own. But to a certain extent, there's a relief here. We want Torah to be logical. So we want it to make sense. We want it to be appropriate in our circumstances. At the same time, you know, if you park at a high, if you run a red, if you run a red light and there's no one on the road, you're still going to get a ticket. Usually, but that's the point. But the point is, but what do you mean? It doesn't make sense. But I'm going to lose my system if I do away with this. Okay, continues the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan kol she'asakavim anashim suro ra. So what are the examples of these people? You want to stay away from these types of jobs. The ones who are involved with women. Kegon hasorfim.
What's suro mean?
Suro means to lasur means to means to go on a path. Suro ra means he's on the wrong path. There you go. Exactly. Sumera ba'asetop. Kegon hasorfim. Sorfim are those who deal with gold, right?
Jewelers.
They have to take care of the ladies. They want to put
a gold ring on the gold. V'hasarikim. V'hasarikim. What are sarikim? They're those who dye clothing. V'hanikurot, v'harochlim, v'hagardiim, v'hasaparim, v'hakofsim, v'hagarah, v'habalan, v'haborski. So what are all of these? Okay, so let's go through each one. Right, so sarikim, we said, what's nikurot? Rashi says nikurot are those who used to put holes in their grinding utensils. So they're working in the kitchen, they had to go and get holes, I don't know how often. And these types of people, they're doing those nikurim, that means it's a woman thing. Rochlin are peddlers, right? So I guess, you know, you're selling, Rashi says, you're selling perfume to women. So you know, those types of jobs. Gardim, I think, are those who are weaving fabric. Saparim means, right, the people who are giving the hair cutters, the salonists. Vakovsim, the dry cleaners, you know, whatever. Once upon a time, it was the people who just did your laundry. Vahagara, vahabalan. I don't remember what gara is. I don't know what gara is. Balan is the person who's... Balan is the person who goes to the bathhouses and he warms them up. Gara, we'll have to look it up. I don't know. What? Gara, Rashi? There's a Rashi on Gara? Oh, Gara, yeah, thank you. Oh, that's right. Gara, says Rashi, is a person who lets blood. They once used to let blood. In other words, if you were sick, you would have to get your blood let. And so women would come and you'd be there secluded with the woman, potentially. Vahbalan, vahasarikim, vahanikurot. Okay, excuse me, I did those. Vahaborsaki. Borsaki is a person who works leather. He's a leather worker, so obviously the women come with their leather. Yes, sir?
Question from the other standpoint. So, you work with people, they answered the question of, well, if I can't do all these things, then how do I make a living? But if people don't do these things, how do you get these things?
So, two answers. First of all, they're not saying that nobody should do these things. They're not saying you shouldn't do these things. No. The statement is these are professions, these are occupations to be wary of.
Because they involve women?
Because they involve women, yeah. It doesn't mean you can't do
that.
What's that?
The doctor.
Doctor will have to deal with separate. Doctors, they're very nervous about. These, they're saying, you need extreme care in all these sorts of circumstances. We find Chachamim who were, Balanim, certainly, we find some, and Borsaki. Right.
We'll leave the job for the
Secondly, there's other people to do it. Thirdly, there's not everyone's listening to the rabbis, you know, but that's. Without being involved in too much. Figure out a way to overcome it from women. Okay, so anyway, this whole list, en ma'amidim mehem lo melech velo kohen gadol. You can't become a king or a kohen gadol if you were any of those professions. But why so? My ta'ama. What's the reason? Lo mishum dipsile. Not because those things actually make you pasul to lekehuna or le melucha. Elo mishum dezil umnutayu. But rather because they have cheap professions. They're not respected. They're not honored as a result of doing these things and involving themselves in all sorts of situations. Tanura banan, says the Gemara. Asa tanura banan is a beraita. Asara devarim ne'emru begara. Right. This is that blood letter. 10 things were said about a blood letter. What sort of things? Now, the common denominator behind almost all of these is a sense of haughtiness. It's something we can't really appreciate because we don't let blood any longer. But once upon a time, you let blood, you got all the Hashub families, all the million-dollar families.
Like a doctor, right?
It was like a doctor for the rich people. So you were the rich person's doctor. You felt very special about yourself.
What does that do for you, bloodletting, by the way?
It used to believe that it was medicinal, that it helped you. If you had fever, they would take it. Mehalech al-sido. Firstly, he stands upright. He stands in a haughty fashion. Viruhogasa, and he's got a haughty personality. Vinitla v'yoshev, and he's always leaning on other things, which is a haughty way of propping yourself when you're sitting. You know, as you're leaning, you can't just sit straight up. You're always leaning. It means you have a certain haughty demeanor. V'yoshev, v'nitla v'yoshev, v'ino sara, and you're a person who doesn't like to give because you think you're the greatest.
V'ino eye,
which means you're not giving. V'ino ra'a, which means you look at others. Bad eye means you look at others and you think badly about them. Why? Because again, you think you're the greatest. Ochel harbe u'mosi kim'a, you eat a lot. And you don't excrete a lot. Why don't you excrete a lot? Rashi explains because you're hanging out with the rich people, so you're eating only the finest foods. And apparently there was this understanding of the finest foods
don't get digested
so well that you don't need to excrete them. Me neither. Vehashud al ha'arayot. And there's a hashad, there's a fear about a sexual promiscuity. Ve'al ha'gezel, and stealing as well. You're around the rich people, it's very tempting, and they're in vulnerable states, they're weakened. Ve'al shifichut tamim, and you're also involved with taking blood. You might take too much in order to get something, in order to do away with a person you don't like. In short, just to summarize in, I don't know, 5 sentences what we did today, the first issues we dealt with, we're finishing up the Yehud business, and we're talking about the types of professions in which you're involved with as a single person with those types of kids, or a single woman, or a single man, and so on and so forth. Then we talked about the different professions, the ones to stay away from, the ones that are a little bit better, the ones a little bit worse, and then we saw in the Gemara, you know, just going through those, which are the specific ones that are involved with the women, which are the specific ones, one of the specific issues of that terrible profession in the Chachamim's eyes, the gara, the person who lets blood. Yes, Charlie.
The rich people are
because you're involved with the rich people and you have them in a vulnerable state, you're taking their blood, you might kill them. Oh, you took his blood and then you put a knife through his heart. In other words, you took his blood and he fell asleep and you ran and took his money. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen. Amen.